small boy asleep on his right side, the right arm stuck out, the right hand hanging limply over the edge of the bed. Through a round grating in the side of a box, a voice speaks softly. The Nile is the longest river in Africa, and the second in length of all the rivers of the globe. Although falling short of the length of the Mississippi-Missouri, the Nile is at the head of all rivers as regards the length of its basin, which extends through 35 degrees of latitude. At breakfast the next morning, "Tommy," someone says, "do you know which is the longest river in Africa?" A shaking of the head. "But don't you remember something that begins, 'The Nile is the—'" "The Nile is the longest river in Africa, and the second in length of all the rivers of the globe," the words come rushing out, "although falling short of—" "Well, now, which is the longest river in Africa?" The eyes are blank.
"I don't know."
"But the Nile, Tommy. The Nile is the longest river in Africa, and second—" "Then which river is the longest, Tommy?" Tommy bursts into tears. "I don't know," he howls. That howl, the director made it plain, discouraged the earliest investigators. The experiments were abandoned. No further attempt was made to teach children the length of the Nile in their sleep. Quite rightly, you can't learn a science unless you know what it's all about. "Whereas, if they'd only started on moral education," said the director, leading the way towards the door. The students followed him, desperately scribbling as they walked and all the way up in the lift. "Moral education, which ought never, in any circumstances, to be rational."
"Silence, silence," whispered a loudspeaker as they stepped out at the 14th floor, and "Silence, silence,"
the trumpet mouths indefatigably repeated at intervals down every corridor. The students, and even the director himself, rose automatically to the tips of their toes. They were alphas, of course, but even alphas had been well-conditioned.
"Silence, silence."
All the air of the 14th floor was sibilant with the categorical imperative. 50 yards of tiptoeing brought them to a door, which the director cautiously opened. They stepped over the threshold into the twilight of a shuttered dormitory. 80 cots stood in a row against the wall. There was a sound of light, regular breathing, and a continuous murmur as of very faint voices remotely whispering. A nurse rose as they entered and came to attention before the director.
"What's the lesson this afternoon?" he asked. "We had elementary sex for the first 40 minutes, she answered, "but now it's switched over to elementary class consciousness."
The director walked slowly down the long line of cots, rosy and relaxed with sleep. 80 little boys and girls lay softly breathing. There was a whisper under every pillow. The DHC halted, and bending over one of the little beds, listened attentively.
"Elementary class consciousness, did you say? Let's have it repeated a little louder by the trumpet."
At the end of the room, a loudspeaker projected from the wall. The director walked up to it and pressed the switch.